few weeks ago, we were joined on the phone by Dr. Jane Barrett, Secretary General of the International Federation on Aging, but the ICU campaign. Now, we're glad to have her back in studio to chat a little more about eye health, and it is Vision Health Month. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Corinne and Joita. Good to be here with you this morning.
And in person. That's always a treat.
Well, it's great to see you in person, and that's why we're here, to talk about our eye health.
Absolutely. Now, as was mentioned, you've been on the show before, but just refresh our memories. Give us a bit of an introduction about yourself and the work that you do, and remind us about the ICU campaign.
Look, thank you. The International Federation on Aging has its headquarters here in Toronto, and we're a membership-based organisation of government, non-government, academic industry, and older people. And our role is to work with experts, as we've done in Ontario, retinal specialists, to help influence and shape good policy so that as we grow older in a healthy, very productive way. So that's why Eye Health Month, Vision Month, is so important for us.
Now, there is some initiative by the government that could restrict the use of effective treatments. This is an important issue. Could you tell us a little bit more about that?
Certainly. Let me just give you a bit of background. Our vision is the cornerstone of our function and well-being. And listeners may not be aware, but many retinal diseases, such as glaucoma, age of macular disease, diabetic retinopathy, are treatable, but only if treatments are accessible, available, and given at the right time. So last year, the Canadian Agency for Drugs and Technologies in Health conducted a review, a clinical and cost-effectiveness review of treatments for retinal diseases. And their main recommendation was for the use of a drug which is approved for cancer but has been used in the treatment of retinal diseases to be given. You know, I might say at this stage that it is much less expensive than the approved drugs. So the IFA and 8 retinal specialists representing the Ontario hospitals put together a response. And that response really argued for the development of a scientifically and clinically sound framework for the treatment of retinal diseases, and one which really respected the assessment of the physician in determining the most appropriate treatment. So we're in the middle of a quite extensive consultation at the moment by the ministry, and the ministry is trying to determine how best to implement the recommendations of CADTH.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, with an aging population, the argument that vision health is of paramount importance is a salient one. And given that you're smack in the middle of these consultations, do you feel that there's a push and pull between cost savings and cost cutting and the pocketbook angle and patient welfare and well-being and sort of making sure that we're putting that front and center?
Yes, it is. There's always a tension between cost and also the most effective, appropriate treatment. But we cannot, as a society in Canada, put a dollar cost on our vision, because vision really speaks to our role, our identity, our productivity. And changes in our eyesight are not inevitable, you know, in older age. Just because we're growing older, it doesn't mean our eyes will deteriorate. But retinal diseases actually impact across the population. This is not a discussion about people over 65. For example, you know, in 2013, there's about 3 million people with diabetes in Canada. That will escalate to 5.5 million by 2025. Diabetic retinopathy, diabetic macular edema are two serious and common complications of diabetes. Now, if we don't have the most effective and appropriate treatments, then we are going to have a population of people that not only have serious vision impairment, but also are blind.
Yes. So you were talking earlier about the government working on a few projects to ensure the best possible outcomes for patients living with eye disease or vision loss. Can you elaborate a little bit on that?
Look, the main project at the moment is this extensive consultation, you know, around, you know, what is the most appropriate implementation of the CADTH recommendations. you know, what we're asking for is a sustained dialogue with the ministry to actually work with them to develop, you know, the options for the treatment of retinal diseases. So we have retinal specialists, patient groups, seniors groups, and individuals that are really calling on the government to be responsible in their implementation of the CADTH recommendations. So we actually balance the importance of the value of eyesight for all Canadians.
You know, as someone with, well, I like to think of them as being young at heart, but let's be honest, my parents are getting a bit older. Mm. And this is something that is of concern to them. They don't expect to lose their vision, but they're certainly concerned about that being a possibility. With that said, do any of the recommendations and does any of the consultation actually talk about prevention? Because, you know, the old adage, I like to bring it up every time I have a doctor in here, prevention is better than cure. So how much public policy work is being done? How much funding is going towards prevention?
Not enough. Mm-hmm. You've made an excellent point, and that's part of the primary goal of the ICU campaign, you know, the call to action for individuals to go and have their eyes checked every year. But secondly, to be well enough informed to ask the doctor what kind of treatment, when, is it the most effective, and above all, is it safe? So we have a responsibility, but equally the government has a responsibility to have a focus on the patient in the context of, you know, cost.
Yes, definitely. And with rolling out the actual plan of covering, like the government looking into covering more stuff for younger people, hopefully they will take advantage of that. I know I keep my regular eye appointments, which because my parents always said, since I'm the one who wears glasses and no one else, I'm probably the one who should take eye health very, very seriously. How can people learn more about these initiatives as the government is rolling out?
Look, the IFA has eye health as a priority, and we are working in collaboration with CNIB, CCB, FFB, as well as CARP, as well as, you know, professional associations. So the website is icu.care. So EYESEEYOU.care. And in there you can sign up for our newsletters, you can be part of the conversation to help influence this policy and this decision by the Ministry of Health and Long-Term Care. It's critical that we join as a community and mobilise to ensure that every Canadian, you know, has the right to good vision care.
Well said. After all, you know, on the point of costs, I always like to think about the cost of not doing something about this in a proactive way, because if people lose their vision, you're talking about the number of people who suffer from diabetes, and that number is inflating in the next couple of years. There will be social and economic costs to people having impaired vision and blindness in the years to come.
Look, it's like a domino effect, Joita, because it's not only the person with the vision loss. It's often, you know, if I was a grandmother, I wouldn't be able to care for my grandchildren. I wouldn't be able to go to the shops. So then care services have to come in. But also, Canada's asking us to work a lot longer now, so into our 60s and 70s. And we older workers must be in the workforce because, you know, it's a productivity issue. So it's not only the social, but it's the economic costs as well. We've got to understand that it is a good investment for stronger outcomes.
Mm-hmm. Can you just tell us one more time about the website that we were talking about?
Certainly, the website, and also you can go onto IFA for our Twitter handles as well, but it's icu.care, EYESEEYOU.care. And of course, you can always contact me directly at the IFA if you want to have a conversation, because we're interested in hearing from individuals as well as agencies, and we work collaboratively across sectors.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for taking the time to chat with us about this issue. We really appreciate you coming in, Dr. Barrett.
Well, thank you for your leadership. Thank you very much.